Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Kate Culver. This sermon is based on scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Central Sunday morning service for the 19th of November, 2023, the 25th Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Sermons Under Worship.
Upon them, as labor pains come from upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are children of the light and children of the day. And we are not of the night or darkness. So let us then not fall asleep, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on our breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, that we may live with him, therefore encouraging one another to build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. What a week it's been. Man, can you guys feel it? The world is sort of heavy right now. It feels heavy to me. Fall is busy, and it is beautiful, and it kicks off our holiday season. And I, preparing for this sermon, was thinking about some of my Thanksgiving pasts. And I settled on last year. And as many of you know, and some of you don't, at my former church, I was head of the program that provided services to our most vulnerable in the city and the unhoused neighbors. And just a little background, we would serve about 200 people a day. It was good work, it was hard work, and it was heart work. But like I said, this time of year is hard. It always has seemed heavy to me. And me, like many humans, I get stuck in my own head from time to time. And one day, the week before Thanksgiving, a neighbor came up to me. We'll call her Tiffany. Now, Tiffany, I know very well. She never missed my Bible study ever and always, always, always asked how my family was doing. And I've walked alongside her for a long time. That is to say, anyway, she comes to me and she said, I would really like to make Thanksgiving dinner for everyone. I get my food stamps on Monday. And suddenly, with that, I am ripped out of my Tuesday morning in my own head funk, and I respond with my best pastoral response and told her how generous it was and that I would love to talk about it more and let me see if I could find some kind of budget. Well, y'all, I did not have a budget to feed 200 people Thanksgiving dinner, nor did I have volunteers lined up. It's the week before. Still, I believe that God provides, although unfortunately we had just emptied our food pantry and donated it to another organization because we're renovating the space. The only thing left in that room was an old beat-up deep freeze, and I walk over to it, and it's empty except for four enormous frozen turkeys and enough chicken legs to go around. And so I said, okay, well, maybe this will work, okay. And the next day at work, I'm grabbing a duffel bag from our clothing closet, and it seems heavy, and I kid you not, I open it and it is filled with cans of green beans and corn. I get it, God, okay, we're gonna do it. So I call Tiffany, and I tell her about my discoveries, and we begin to plan. And church members rallied to make casseroles upon casseroles, everybody's favorite. And Tiffany makes sweet potato pies, and I cook the turkeys. I've never cooked a turkey before, but it ended up okay. We even had volunteers that made table decorations. It was a beautiful event. And somehow, the funk of this pre-holiday season, our community was able to turn a simple idea into something wonderful because of one point of light, that simple and generous offer that one woman made to cook dinner for everyone. This time of year always comes with that weary funk feeling, don't you think? What do you guys think? Perhaps it is anticipation of the holidays, or perhaps it is because these are the literal darkest days of the year. As we move to solstice, whatever the cause, there are threads of uncertainty woven into this time of year, and there is darkness, and there is heartbreak, and there is grief, and there is weariness, and there's hope. We are standing at the intersection of a very important time, that is the time of Advent and solstice, the winter solstice. It's the season for waiting for light in the darkness, but for now we wait. In this tapestry of life, which is woven with threads of uncertainty, we find solace in the guidance we read from the text today. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians was just that. It's a guidance for the days ahead. This letter is regarded as the first thing we hear from Paul, his first letter. And for some context, Paul and his buddy Silas had just formed the Thessalonian church, and it was going great until we find Paul in some kind of trouble. I think Paul is always in some kind of trouble. It seems that way. But the problem was is that Christians were proclaiming that there was another king. Well, that's Jesus Christ. And they were accused of rebelling against Caesar. And this escalated to the point eventually that Paul and Silas were driven out of the city. What a bummer. Paul was just getting started. I mean, he even liked the Thessalonians. He missed them even. This letter is an attempt to reconnect with them after getting word that the church was indeed not suffering, but flourishing under the intense persecution from the Romans. Paul writes this first letter in a celebration of the Thessalonians' faithfulness, and then it kind of moves into a Pauline pep talk of sorts about growing the church and faith and waiting until Christ comes again. Now, I just want to give one note about the concept of coming again. The day of the Lord, the second coming, because it is a complicated one. It is a concept that has been used to scare people, to hurt people, to exclude brothers and sisters and siblings, and can lead to an idle view of the present moment. But what Paul is saying is just the opposite. He views the coming of Christ as a moment of accountability. For at that moment, we must face God ourselves honestly. Light will appear in the darkness and illumine who we are, children of the light. And with this in mind, Paul urges us to live joyfully, anticipating the coming of Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you view Christ's coming as a moment in the future or something metaphorically, the significance is true because that reality of God's kingdom is present with us now. You see, in this text, there's a very important contrast between those living in darkness, we'll call those spiritual unaware, and those living in the light, the faithful. Think of Paul like a seasoned guide addressing the Thessalonian community with a knowing smile, acknowledging their awareness of the impending return of the Lord. The imagery of the thief in the night isn't meant to incite fear, but to emphasize its unpredictability in life. It's like Paul is saying, hey guys, life is full of surprises, but guess what? You are not stumbling around in the dark. You are children of the light. Be present and be ready. The text is a call to all of us to stay awake and be alert. Paul writes, so then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But let's zoom in for just a minute on that word sober. In Greek, it is nepho, which is not just about abstaining from alcohol or other substances. It is a call to be spiritually awake and to navigate life with a clear mind. In English, sober misses the depth of the original Greek, urging us not only to avoid intoxication, but to be vigilant and aware in a world that often lulls us into a spiritual slumber. So when Paul says sober, he's not just telling us to avoid a hangover, spiritual or otherwise. He's inviting us into a state of alertness and clarity, urging us to live with intentionality and purpose. Imagine a world where everyone is a beacon of light. I mean, look around. When Paul calls us children of the light, it's not just about personal illumination. It's a call to be a collective force, radiating God's love and justice. This world is often shrouded in darkness, and we need that love. Sober living in this context extends beyond our personal discipline. It's about being spiritually awake, socially conscious, and actively participating in God's mission. Our sobriety becomes a call to engage with the world's challenges, fueled by the promise of a transformative power of our shared identity as children of the light. But there's more than being children of the light in this text. There's also the contrast of darkness. So it is with the winter solstice. In the longest night, there lies a promise, the inevitability of light's return, the deep knowing that the darkness will end. Yet, we have something to learn from the darkness. Because it is in the moments of deepest darkness when it seems unending, that we can witness the gradual drawing near of new possibilities and renewed hope. As Christians, we believe Christ illuminates our journey. So whether we are awake in the light of day or asleep in the darkness, may we know the light of the present, may we yearn for the light of the future, and wonder in the darkness of night. Paul's words aren't just about a future event. They're an invitation to savor the present, savor the yearning, to unlock the wonder, to recognize both shadows and valleys and sunlit peaks and how all these things contribute to a full mosaic of life. It's within this delicate interplay of light and dark that the full spectrum of our humanity unfolds. In our faithfulness, we are challenged to dream of a future shaped by God's love while remaining committed to the present. It's really a call to action, urging us not to postpone living out of faith until some distant tomorrow, but to infuse our present life with hope and the love of Christ. The final verse resonates with the spirit of community. We are reminded that we are not solitary travelers on this faith journey. We are a family. And encouragement isn't a mere pep talk. It's a communal embrace that moves us forward. We don't really need to look any further than our friend Tiffany and her vision of the home-cooked Thanksgiving meal to see what community can do with real-life inspiration. She was that point of light which caused a spark that caught fire and illuminated the whole community. Our mutual encouragement is not just a feel-good exercise, but is a tangible expression of a witness to the transformative power of the gospel in our lives and in the world. And I'll finish with this. Let us not simply see these verses as historical artifacts or abstract theological concepts. Instead, let them be like a soundtrack to our lives, guiding our steps, invigorating our spirits, and inspiring us to live in the light today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit infuse our journey with hope and purpose and a resounding sense of community. And so, my friends, let's step forward into the uncertain dance of life, embracing each moment with assurance that we are indeed children of the light. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the world. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.